Welcome to Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. I'm your host, Dr. William Baker, and this week we're going to talk about call to duty. Now, some of you might be here today thinking, Call of Duty. No, it's not a video game. Although, if it was a video game, it would be very interesting if you could play Jesus or one of the disciples and go out and heal people and cast out demons and have some of those battles, although the battle's already won. It would depend on, you know, if you were a disciple or if you were actually Jesus, you know, if you had Jesus faith versus disciple faith, you know, that could make a difference in the game. Do you want God level faith or do you want, you know, as a disciple, you could have that God level faith. But when you fell into question, you get kind of weak. So just something interesting to think about. Anyway, call of duty, call to duty, your call to duty, and you feel like you want to do more than what you're doing, could be one of two things. You've got a spiritual call to duty and you have a physical call to duty. You want to, for the physical side, you want to do more for yourself. You want to be more than what you are. Of course you want to do well. You want to succeed in life, however you set your bar or measure. Now, the spiritual side is a call, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, calling you to do something. Now, God never instructed, for the physical side, God never instructed his disciples not to have anything. They were allowed to have things. That was always been a misreading in the Bible. He didn't say they couldn't specifically have things. But when they were going to go out and they were going to be evangelistic and go around and preach and cast out demons and heal people, he didn't want them to be encumbered by a lot of possessions. So he told them, you know, don't carry certain things, don't do this. It didn't mean that they couldn't have them if they had them somewhere. He just didn't want them to take it because it would slow down what they had to do and the people that they would be reaching. So for the spiritual side, sometimes we get that call where we've got to do more than what we're doing. It doesn't mean we need to give up everything we have. No. Spiritually, what can we do? It doesn't mean you need to take on a full-time position where you're just being an evangelist. Or, I'm going to preach full-time. I'm going to go around and, you know, I'm going to pop up a tent everywhere and go preach. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It could. You could go to that extreme. But as a Christian, you can display that based on how you act, how you treat other people, how you behave in public, how you talk to people. When people look at you, you could be displaying Christian values, morals, and ethics, Christian characteristics. And we need that in today's world. There's not a lot of it. What we teach our kids, what people see. Sometimes when you're out in public, and when somebody's looking at you, and it could be a little kid, it could be a teenager, it could be an adult, it could be an old person. Sometimes that might be the only time they've been exposed to Christianity. What they see you doing, how you act, how you're talking. Do you have kids? Have you raised them in a Christian home where they have Christian values and beliefs? And morals, Christian morals. A lot of people, they've never seen some of that, depending on where you're at in the world. So that can be your call to duty, your call to action. You know, do you bring it up in a conversation? Or are you ashamed of being a Christian? When somebody talks about it, you want to shy away and hide. You can't shy away and hide. You're a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. If you're ashamed to be a Christian, then you're not a Christian. You're going to take and you're going to have a circumcised heart. And you're going to do your best to live a different lifestyle. You're going to live that Christian life. And that doesn't mean, oh my goodness, it's horrible. I'm going to suffer and be miserable. That's not what it means. It's not what it means at all. Have faith. Be happy. living the best life you can live as a Christian. Love thy neighbor. What are the fruits of the Spirit? They tell us in Galatians. Think about that. Love, joy, long-suffering, right? There's nine of them. We talk about that in one of the earlier podcasts. Exhibit those. Let people see that. They say, how can you be so happy? And you, well, because I'm a Christian and these are what I value. I hope everybody's having a good week. Hoping they're having a blessed week. I'm not going to ramble on too much before we dive right into the scripture because we've got a little bit of a longer one this morning, this afternoon, this evening, depending on where you're at, what time of day you're listening to this. So we're going to go ahead and jump into Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the 12 apostles. Now, before we really jump in, let's talk about 12 apostles. Apostles. Apostles a little bit closer than a disciple, right? Apostles have the same authority to heal disease, get rid of sin, that the disciples have. But the apostles are a little bit higher on the order of importance in things. More important, closer. So when you think of apostles, you know, just think of a church hierarchy. A lot of churches have hierarchies. You don't need to have a hierarchy in a church, but God had apostles and he had disciples. Some of them were the same, right? The original 12. You're not going to add any more of those original 12. They're who they were. Same thing with the disciples. 12 disciples were who they were. So, it really is a special position. So everybody's got, you know, those special positions in church and stuff. We can all be followers, but then you have that hierarchy. I don't understand all the hierarchies because I don't understand every intricate facet to every religious offshoot of Christianity or other religion, but we're specifically talking about Christianity. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, in that little section, the first four verses, he called them, he, Jesus, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits, demons, to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Now, if you can cast out unclean spirits and heal every disease and every affliction, man, you've been given a gift. And they were given that gift from God. You give them authority, you know, authority in his name. And then they list the disciples who are going to go out and do this mission for them. Now, it's interesting because when we're talking about unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction, What is that? Well, you have unclean spirits and you have disease and affliction because sin. So he's given them the authority, essentially, to remove their sin. Because he gave them authority just like it was his authority, right? So they can remove that sin. Now, he sends out these 12 apostles. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or staff. For the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace be come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Now let's go back and look at that. These 12 Jesus sent out. Now we went over the names. I don't want to go over them again. It's his disciples that he sent out. He instructed them, go nowhere among the Gentiles. Now let's remember, what's a Gentile? Someone who is not from the land of nation of Israel. They're not Israel. They're not Jewish. And enter no town of the Samaritans. So they basically have to go, you know, and it says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It tells them right there. He wants to find his lost sheep first. The ones that have went astray, possibly, or moved, or for whatever circumstances are away from the nation of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now remember, Jesus is still alive at this time. He tells them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Okay, so he's healing the sick. They're sick because they have some kind of sin. Raising the dead. Think about that. They're dead. Somebody's dead. How do you bring a dead person back to life now? You don't. Cleanse lepers. Well, today, can we cleanse lepers? Some. We're going to, you know, you can talk about cleaning them up, but we're talking about healing in this instance. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead. Now, when it says cleanse lepers, it does have that put aside, doesn't it? So, you know, it doesn't mean sick, because it says heal the sick, raise the dead. They're not dead. They're not sick. Cast out demons. You know, if you're sick, it's separated here. Sick doesn't mean having a demon. Raising the dead doesn't mean having a demon, being sick or a leper. Being a leper doesn't mean you're sick or dead or a demon. You're a leper. It's separate. It's some kind of disease, per se. And then cast out demons. And you've got that authority, not power. You don't have the power. You were given authority. I will give you this authority over that. Well, if they have authority, if you have authority over something, you are in charge of it, right? You have power over it. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're in charge of it, but you have that authority, which gives you power over it. So if something's, you know, you could think about a blade of grass. You have authority over that grass. You can cut the grass. You can let it grow. You can cover it with shade. You can help it grow. The grass is still there. It may be dead. It might be alive. It could be sick. It could be, you know, what do you want it to do? That's what kind of authority they have. What do you want it to do? You want the demon to come out? You want it to be gone? You want the sick to be healed? You want to raise the dead? Cleanse lepers? Your choice. What are you going to do with that? Or did God give them authority and they do nothing? Well, they did something. And he tells them, you received without paying. Give without pay. The expectation is you're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, and that's what you're going to do. I'm not doing it because I want $1 million. I'm not doing it because I want a house on the hill. Give without pay. Oh, you want me to heal you? Well, that's going to cost you a gold piece. No, that's not what Jesus was telling them at all. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. Says belt, because typically that's where they would put it, right? They'd store it in their belt. No bag for your journey. No bag on your belt or your back. Or two tunics. Or sandals or a staff, you know? Didn't want them to have a change of clothes. You're just going to go with what you've got, you know, for the laborer deserves his food. Now think about that. You're going to go somewhere. And you can accept food. And they're not saying they're God. God's not saying that, you know, you're not me, you're a laborer. But you're doing work. You deserve food. And this is what you're out there to do. They can eat and move on, right? In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. Why? Because when you stay with someone who is worthy, they understand. They've heard the preaching. They understand the importance of the message. They have faith. You wouldn't stay with someone who's bad-mouthing and ill-tempered and going to berate you, and it was going to be miserable the whole time. You couldn't accomplish your mission. Jesus wanted them to stay with individuals who would help support the mission, get the message out, faith, heal. That was the purpose. Salvation, bringing people to God who may have fallen away. Because remember, they're out there to find the lost sheep. And as you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's, you know, not worthy, let your peace return to you. Don't stay there. You know, if it's worthy, let your peace be come upon it. Go ahead and preach. Heal. Let the message go out that you're there. People will know you're there. Communication was, you know, people talked in those towns. Something was going on, everybody knew. And if it was worthy, you'd have a line out the door. But he didn't want just everybody lining up. He wanted the lost sheep of Israel, the Israelites. He wanted to bring them back to the fold, to the family. Wanted to bring them back to faith. But only if they welcomed it. They had to be worthy. You know, he said, if they weren't worthy, shake off the dust. Let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house or the town. They may be from the house of Israel. They may be lost sheep. But if they're not going to be worthy of it and accept it, guess what? He's not going to waste his time, his precious godliness. It's there for them if they want it. But there's others that need it too. He's not going to sacrifice one for another. He doesn't have to. He's God. He can do all of it at the same time. But men can't. The disciples had to go find those lost sheep. And if they didn't want to be worthy of the disciples' time, well, it's not going to help them find any lost sheep. So he said, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town when you've shaken off that. No, Sodom and Gomorrah was sinful. Right? So in one aspect, you've got this picture of Sodom and Gomorrah. On the other hand, you have the disciples. And there's two pictures with the disciples. One where they're worthy and the peace is upon them and they're healing. And the other one, they're not welcome. They're being turned away. They're shaking off that dust going to the other town. Now think about this. So they're shaking off that dust and going away. Would Sodom and Gomorrah turn them away? No. They're so evil, they would welcome them in. Welcome to that fornicating and immorality. Come on in. They wouldn't send them away. Oh, they'd welcome them the wrong way. Right? That's what they're going to do. But think about this. God knows. Jesus knows. You know, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah. They're not doing it because they're blatantly being unwelcoming to the disciples. Sodom and Gomorrah is ignorant. They don't know. And God's saying it's going to be better for them. Because when you shake off that dust from the unwelcome, they do know. And they made that choice. That's a heavy choice to make when you think about it. So that's the end of verse 15, the end of Matthew 10, verse 1 through 15. So that's what I wanted to talk about today for everyone. And we'll come back to verse 16 next time. And as always, I want to say, you know, I want the best for everybody out there. You know, Jesus wants the best. Jesus wants you to have faith. He's always with you. You know, I'm certainly not Jesus, but I'm saying this. I want the best for you as well. If you need someone to talk to, remember, God's always there. Jesus is always there with you. You can talk to him. But if you need a person to talk to, I am available. You've got my contact list. You can leave a comment, or you can actually send me an email, or you can look at my address and send me a letter. Totally up to you. I will respond. I'll either respond by giving you a phone call, an email. I'll send you a letter back. I will send you an email back. I'll look at your comment. It depends on what you say, what you need help with, but I will respond. Don't think that you're going through anything by yourself. You know, if you're not sure about something, if you're having thoughts that, you know, where you could possibly harm yourself or somebody else, just don't. Give me a couple seconds to talk to me. You know, life is never, never that bad. It's not. At the time when we're so involved in something, and I used to get this way. I used to get to the point where I would be involved in something and I was so wrapped up in it, I would get so frustrated, furious. And then I got to a point in my life where I matured in Christ more. And I realized, you know, it's always going to be better at some point. Things are going to get better. There's always an out. Yeah, sometimes, you know, because you've made a situation, it's not always what you've made, but sometimes things are going on and you just need, you know, somebody else's perspective, somebody else's experience or education. You know, sometimes it's a lack of knowledge and you don't think there's a way out, but there is. There's another option. You know, sometimes it's those things that we do to ourselves, the situations we make for ourselves. Well, it's not going to be pleasant, but I just got to work through it the next couple of years. And I've been there and done that. Trust me. You know, in my earlier years when I thought it was Superman and nothing could hurt me. Yeah, well, we all need an ear sometimes. Sometimes we don't need to necessarily have somebody say anything, but just listen. Sometimes we do need feedback. Sometimes we want that feedback. Sometimes we need some assistance. Don't know what to do. Well, I'm here. I am a resource. But God's there too. You're never by yourself. If you think you're by yourself, it's because you're not listening. And God's not just letting things happen to you. Well, why does God let it? You know, God put a lot of people here to do things. And a lot of people aren't very Christian, are they? Because of the way the world is. Look at it. God didn't make this world the way it is. We did. If you look back in the Bible, the nation of Israel fell away from God at times, and he called them down. He killed off a lot of the Israelites and left just a few chosen few who were really worthy and believed. And they rebuilt the nation. Then he called them again because they started to fall away again. Things went kind of crazy. You know, in the societies we live in, we don't always live in Christian societies depending on where we're at. Remember, society, you've got politics. Some are religious, not necessarily Christian. And the politics aren't necessarily Christian. Christianity, belief in God, it's not political. Some people want to make it political. It's not. And that's a mistake. Well, if you're a Christian, you've got to, you know, well, you can affect the society you live in. By making sure, you know, and this is where it gets sort of political. Look at the people you can vote for, or if you want to run for office. But what about the Christian values? What about the Christian morals and ethics? What are you bringing to the table? Does it represent what you believe? Christianity. Belief in Jesus, faith in Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'm here for you, my brothers and sisters out there. So just remember that Dr. Baker is here for you. Not asking anything from you. Well, one thing. I want one thing. I'm not asking for money, but if you choose to see fit, I put this out there in podcast, but, you know, please tell your friends about it, or I don't really do social media other than the podcast stuff. I don't do Facebook or any of that. I post it on Twitter, but, you know, if you do, hey, let people know about it if you like it. If you don't, you know, you could tell them you don't like me or don't have to say anything at all. Anyway, I wish everybody the best. Have a blessed week. This is Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Have a blessed day.